Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, the 15th day of December, 2016. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here, too, from Bennett Consulting. Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Mark Schleusner, who's the state statistician for USDA NASS in Illinois, will discuss some of those surveys that are in your mailbox or being phoned in by you right now, and the importance of farmer surveys to not only USDA statisticians and the stats that you get on report days, but it might mean to your ARC County payments. And we'll also check in on the agricultural weather forecast on this very cold day in the state of Illinois with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, and that all happens right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. January beans at $10.29 were up 5 1/4. The March up 5 cents at $10.39 1/2. This over the noon hour, by the way, not the settlement prices, as I'm traveling with the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. It's $10.46 1/2 for the May, up 4 at the noon. July 3 1/4 higher, $10.51 1/4. Next year's November's up about 1/4 at $10.16 1/4 cents. March corn futures were down a nickel at 357 over the noon hour. The May down 4 3/4. July 4 1/4 lower, 371 1/4 to the trade there. December of next year, 3 1/2 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat down 5 1/4 at 412 3/4. July 4 cents lower at 437. In the bean oil, futures were 8 cents lower at 36.84. The bean meal up $1.10 at $313.90. Again, these numbers from the noon hour as I'm traveling on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits at this hour. Checking out what's been happening with the livestock for the afternoon. In the live cattle for the day, down 12.5 cents, $110.97 1/2. Feeder cattle are unchanged at this hour at $127.70. This hour being, again, the noon hour. And lean hogs, the February contract at $62.42 1/2, up 65 cents. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana, and other radio stations.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Overcast skies, a low of just 12 degrees tonight on a wind out of the south-southeast at 10 to 15. Things will begin to get a little bit warmer tomorrow. Cloudy skies during the day on Friday, some mixed winter precipitation. The high should be 28 degrees. That south-southeast wind will stay with us at 10 to 20. Tomorrow evening, freezing rain early. That'll change to just rain overnight. Precipitation will be light. The low is 27 tomorrow night. Winds out of the south at 10 to 20. Chance of rainfall set at 70%. A total accumulation between precipitation types, so less than an inch, and then maybe a little bit less than an inch on Saturday as well will gather in at a 60% rate. Light rain early in the day, remaining cloudy with snow showers in the afternoon. However, we'll go to 41 degrees early on the day on Saturday and drop back to 25 by the end of the day. That'll set us up for a 3-degree low on Saturday evening with some snow showers and a wind out of the northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Sunday, partly sunny skies, a high of just 7 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear, and a low of 1. On Monday, those sunny skies return, and we'll get a bit warmer, a high of 22 degrees. Monday night, a low of 14 degrees under clear skies. On Tuesday, sunny and 35. Tuesday evening, clear and 24 for the low. By the time we get to Wednesday, a mix of clouds, some sun early, then becoming cloudy later in the day. Wednesday, we'll go to a high of 38 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. In fact, this is the last time I will be live to tape, relatively speaking, on a given day until January the 2nd, as I'll go on holiday next week and be off the following week between Christmas and New Year's as well. So we're really depending on you, Dan Zwicker, to give us some good ideas about the marketplace. We're talking over the noon hour here, so not quite sure how things finished up on this Thursday. I don't know that that matters so much, but maybe you can kind of give us some guiding lights as to what your expectations are for the end of the year and the beginning of the new year.
Well, just a quick glance at the charts. We've had a nice little run, like in corn here, for the last couple weeks. The March futures has taken over as the lead option. And of course, it took over above the December option, you know, by 7 to 10 cents. So I think a lot of what we're seeing here in Thursday's action of losing about a nickel of in the corn market is kind of what we view as part of a sideways type trading range. When one option expires, the next option kind of slides back to where the previous option or the expired option was trading at. And I think we might be experiencing some of that, what we're seeing in corn and wheat today, because they're the ones that are down. My bias is, I think, probably looking at the technical indicators, is that we might be ripe for more consolidation. There could be kind of a downward bias maybe as we go into Christmas week. But I think the overall underlying trend in corn is going to stay in place of being sideways to higher as we go on into January. I think that is going to be the case in soybeans. Now, soybeans, the fundamentals are much stronger. At least near-term fundamentals look better with strong demand. We still have some uncertainty going on in the South American crop. But when you look at projected supply-demand tables on both corn and soybeans, they're just scary, just plain scary. If we have favorable South American weather and then another favorable year here in North America. But I think the underlying trend in soybeans is still sideways to higher, or mostly higher. But short term, as we go on into Christmas week, I think we're going to see some long liquidation and probably some downward pressure and consolidation. When you get in here between Christmas and New Year's, you know, most of your senior traders take that time off. So the only people that are really around are your junior traders, and volume really begins to dry up quite a bit. So I think this is just a sign of entering the holiday downtime period. Then once we start the new year, the focus is going to be on the January crop. Final. I'm not too sure anybody's expecting any kind of major changes, but a lot of times that's when they occur. But for the most part, I think the January crop report will kind of be the final nail in the 2016 crop year coffin. And then all of a sudden, the trade will begin to focus on 2017 prospects, acreage projections. And of course, right now, everybody's kind of thinking that this bean rally this fall has probably bought some bean acres. It's probably reduced some corn acres. And of course, then everybody will get ready for the crop insurance price setting month of February. And we'll kind of see where we're at that point. But I think we're ready for some down, but from a long-term cyclical point of view, I think the market is going to hold together. It may not rally significantly, but I think it's going to hold together until we kind of get next year's crop planted and have a little better idea of what kind of crop size we're going to grow here in 2017.
You have been a dissenting view in the past, though I think you may have changed your mind just a little bit about this as it relates to new crop soybean sales, maybe old crop at this time as well. Are you of a mind that you might want to make a percentage sale on either of those crops when we are in that $10 range for soybeans?
Well, yeah, I can't. I sure can't say anything against selling $10 beans. The only thing is I think we're in a environment, both in the macro and micro environment in commodities, that farmers should try to keep their options as flexible as possible. So if they would want to sell some soybeans, you know, they can. There's different ways of doing locking in some $10 soybeans and still keeping the window open for weather problems or financial problems or who knows what's going to happen. I think we're just in a period of uncertainty. But I guess if I was a farmer looking at a big operation and trying to make everything pencil, you have to kind of let some of these $10 beans go. You know, you got to put something there. But I also be watching the market pretty closely to have flexibility to take advantage of any kind of price rally that would occur. On corn, I think the idea is that we're probably going to see reduced feed grain acres in the United States. Probably tells me that I'd probably stay a little more patient on corn, see what the insurance February average is going to do. Whether or not that will encourage more corn acres to come back into production or not. But corn, it just doesn't look attractive at these prices unless you have a big crop like we had last year. Now, as far as old crop inventory, my guess is farmers have pretty well emptied out their bins on beans with these kind of prices because they had such good yields and the acre growth was tremendous. I imagine farmers are still light sold on corn. It's going to be tough to get a whole lot more out of corn than probably what we've seen over the last week or two without some kind of weather problem in South America. But longer term, I think corn's going higher, but we got to have a lot of things change before we actually see the fundamentals or before the fundamentals become visible at this point in time.
On that note, I want to deal only with corn that's in commercial storage. In January, at this point in time, I want to know whether you would be willing to pay additional storage to continue to store corn into the springtime.
No, not if – no, I don't think I would probably pay additional storage on a percentage of it. I would say maybe I would hold 25% of it to see what happens as we go on into the spring, but I don't think I would be a major holder. I don't think I would be holding 75% of my corn. When you start paying storage and losing carrying charges, it's just real hard to make it work, and because I know a lot of farmers need to kind of liquidate their inventory before they visit with their banker for the next crop year, and I think holding it until March is probably not going to be a good pay-in proposition. So if you've got to kind of get it liquidated before you go in and see your banker and start over again, I would probably be taking advantage of this price strength that we have in the market over the past couple, 3 weeks here.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you again at the beginning of the new year. Thanks much, Dan.
Thank you.
That's Dan Zwicker, of course. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Again, just a quick reminder that I'll be on the road, actually on holiday, over the next couple of weeks. We have pre-produced programming for you that will be coming up, including tomorrow, when Daryl Good, who will be retiring in the next few months, will take us through Commodity Week. For the whole hour tomorrow, you can listen in on what happened at IPUS and get Daryl Good's thoughts on the marketplace. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, traveling on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits this week. We're in Springfield, where Mark Schleusner, state statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in the state of Illinois, joins us. Thanks for being with us, Mark. One of the things that is in process right now in a couple of different forms is the collection of data from farmers about the just harvested crop. Can you tell me about that and what it means and how you go about doing it?
Sure can, Todd. Yes, we're doing two projects that are aimed at finalizing the yields from 2016. In order to finalize the state yields, we're still collecting data that will be published on January 12. We've got about two or three more days of data collection, so if people are calling you on the phone, it might be a 314 area code from our calling center in St. Louis. Please help us out by telling about the yields you got on your farm. We're also going to be continuing into January collecting data for the county yield surveys. Those data, the county level yields, won't be published until February, and they are directly linked to the ARC county payments, which will be received by producers in the fall of 2017, relating back to the 2016 county productions.
Why is it that the United States government asks farmers directly about their yields?
Several reasons. One is to make sure that we have a safe and abundant food supply in this country. Also, to make sure that the Farm Bill programs work as intended. When there is a decline in general farm income, which is true in 2016, there should be some increases in what people call the farm safety net, the various aspects of the Farm Bill, and that in general is true also.
How many surveys do you send out for these two particular surveys?
In order to finalize the state and county level yields across Illinois in all 102 counties is what we're trying to get. It's more than 10,000 questionnaires that we mail out. We aim to cover large, medium, and small farms in northern, central, and southern Illinois. I want to thank the producers that have already responded to our surveys. You're helping tell the story of your individual farm. We protect that data. It is confidential by law and exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. We gather together and we tell the story of the state of Illinois and the counties of Illinois.
Are there counties in the state that you are unable to publish data from because you simply don't get enough surveys back?
Unfortunately, that is true. On a regular basis, we are not able to publish all 102 counties. We have to hit a statistical standard in each county. We need to get 30 reports or more from a county. If we are unable to get 30 reports, we can also publish if we cover 25% of the acres in that county. But we need as many reports as we can get to make the data as accurate as possible.
Thank you much. Anything else that you want to tell farmers or producers about these surveys and their answers?
I think the most important thing that I can stress is the confidentiality of the data you send to us. Every year, every employee in NAS, and also the people who work for NASDA and collect the data from you, sign a piece of paper that says, I understand the rules about confidentiality. I understand the penalties for breaking those rules. It's something we take very seriously at NAS. It's the first, second, and third lessons that every NAS employee learns.
Mark, thank you very much.
I appreciate your time, Todd. Good luck to everyone out there. Happy holidays. I hope you're with family and friends.
Mark Schleusner is the state statistician for USDA NAS, the state of Illinois. On a personal note, if you listen to the programs very often, you know that report days are big days for us. And each and every one of those reports, for the most part, comes in large part from the surveys that USDA NAS does with farmers, and they do drive the marketplace. They make a difference in what happens in price, and they also make a big difference in what happens with the government programs. I urge you, and so would rest of the Farm Doc Daily team at the University of Illinois, to fill those out to the best of your ability. And frankly, if you do get a phone call, that means you haven't filled them out yet. It'll come in from St. Louis, a 314 area code. That way you know that you probably ought to pick it up. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. Hails from Windsor, Illinois, but is traveling in Amarillo, Texas today. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. during the mid part of the day when you and I are talking, corn and soybeans are really having a pretty good day. Corn is unchanged, but soybeans are up 12 cents at this hour. What is your view of the marketplace and what producers ought to be considering as they look forward into the winter months?
You know, I think demand obviously is pretty darn good here with exports. And then you look at, you know, what the corn ethanol numbers were yesterday, and demand is just good. I mean, there's no question about it. Corn's kind of been gained on soybeans here in the last few days, but certainly today that doesn't seem to be the case. But by all means, corn has quietly staged a nice little rally here of late, while beans have kind of fell off just a little bit. But certainly seeing some good action for the soybeans today. I think producers need to pay close attention, because I do think that if Argentina goes ahead and gets the rains that they've been forecasted to get, you know, it could be kind of an uphill battle for soybeans to rally a whole lot more than what they have so far.
This all seems a bit surprising to myself, to many producers. Have you figured out an explanation for it?
Oh, I think it's a tough explanation by all means. I mean, for one thing, you've got, you know, overwhelming supply. It would tell you that it's not going to rally very much, but then you look at the demand and it's pretty much unprecedented. So, you know, it tells you that as soon as somebody has some sort of a disruption due to weather or whatever it might be, we could have a pretty nice rally in the market just simply because of demand. But, you know, the way I want to look at it as a producer is, can I make money at these price levels? I mean, I don't want to get too complicated and try to outguess the market, because every time we try to do that, it doesn't seem to turn out very good for us.
And does that mean pricing out new and old crop soybeans?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be out of old crop other than maybe gambling bushels. And then as far as new crop goes, by all means, I want to protect as much value in this as what we can. I mean, we're solidly over a dollar. We've been at $1.50 above some of the price levels we started pricing at last year. And we're just significantly higher than where we're at a year ago. And, you know, I don't want to ignore that by any stretch of the imagination.
You suggested the corn was having a better time than you had thought, maybe gaining a little bit on soybeans earlier on. Can you support that with some facts?
You know, I think whenever you look at the corn situation, as far as the funds go, you know, they were heavily short corn in the last few weeks, while they were heavily long soybeans. I think going into potential weather issues in South America, you know, people were watching that fairly close. I think they decided enough was enough, maybe, as far as the corn goes. And then, again, you look at some of the demand factors, and then, of course, it is a futures market, so there's a fair amount of talk going on about what a reduction in acreage might look like. And if it's to the high side, 5 or 6 million acres, it's definitely going to heighten the fact that we're going to need decent weather next year. We're going to severely cut into our carryout situation.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much for taking the time. Good luck there in Amarillo making your presentation. Who are you talking to today?
There's a group of growers, Monsanto people, that they're doing a water efficiency summit for the guys that irrigate down here. It's always very interesting times.
We'll look forward to hearing about that in the future. Thanks much, and good luck getting back to the great state of Illinois.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bennett, of course, is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm in Chicago.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It is National Lemon Cupcake Day. The exact origin of the lemon remains a mystery, although it is presumed lemons first grew in China, northern Burma, and India. Lemons were introduced to the Americas by Christopher Columbus in 1493. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Isaac Walton died. He is mainly known for The Contemplative Man's Recreation, which is one of the most frequently published books in English literature. It is a literary discourse on the pleasures of fishing. In 1791, the new United States of America ratified the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, confirming the fundamental rights of its citizens. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, speech, and the press, and the right to peaceful assembly and petition. In 1939, nylon yarn was sold to hosiery mills to make women's stockings, marking the first use of commercial yarn for apparel. The DuPont product enabled a record number of ladies' hose to go on sale for the very first time in May of 1940. And in 1995, the leaders of the European Union were gathered in Madrid to discuss the shape of a single European currency. They decided to name it the euro. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor is here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Tell me a little bit about the weather forecast from Argentina. Will they get rainfall to alleviate some of the droughty conditions, or at least dry conditions they've had in the past several weeks?
They certainly will see some thunderstorms next week. We're looking for a couple of rounds of thunderstorms beginning as early as Saturday night and Sunday, and then resuming every 3 days or so leading through Christmas time. So between three or four chances for rain, we think that in a worst-case scenario, they would see near-normal rainfall of around 1 to 1.5 inches over the next 10 days, but more than likely they'll end up with more than that, seeing 1.5 to 3 inches of rain over the next 10 to 14 days. So we think that we're going to see some of the drought-type situation diminish a bit as we go forward. The one thing we would note, though, is that if you look at rainfall dating to November 1st and then running through December 13th, so the last 6 to 7 weeks of rainfall in Argentina, it was the number one driest since before 1980 across their corn belt. That's using the Speedwell Weather Index, which is one of the indices that we like to look at here. So it's pretty dry in Argentina, no doubt about it. And this rain is needed, especially for that early crop corn. That corn pollinates over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And with that type of dryness, you know what can happen if they don't see some big rain.
Do you suppose this is a longer-term change in the weather pattern?
That's a great question, and it's always a hard one to answer. We certainly can see that the next 10 to 14 days we'll have more storm systems moving through, which is a big change from the way the pattern has been over the past 6 weeks. Now, whether or not we're in the middle of a drought and this is simply a brief period of wetness, or if this is a true pattern change marking the start of a wet period that would then continue into January and February, it's hard to say. The truth is we don't have a good answer on that one. This is why we take weather day to day and update our forecasts and don't talk too much about forecasting more than 10 to 14 days into the future, because there's so many things that can change once you get that far out. It's just hard to know exactly what you're looking at in real time.
Now turn your attention to North America, some frigid temperatures across the Corn Belt. Please tell me about those.
Well, it will stay cold here through Sunday or so. After that, temperatures do moderate and will actually end up near to above normal by, say, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So the intensely cold weather pattern is ending. Now, before we get there, we do have a big system that will move through the Corn Belt Friday and Saturday. We're looking for widespread snowfall across the northern third of the Corn Belt over the next couple of days. This is mainly to the north of Interstate 80, where snowfall should range from 4 inches to 10 inches, primarily, again, to the north of Interstate 80, centered on southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, and Wisconsin. So a pretty significant transportation disruption is coming to that livestock area. But in general, most of the Corn Belt will see a warmer period tomorrow, and that will lead to rain instead of snow, with some snow as the system exits on Saturday. But overall, for areas to the south of Interstate 80, they'll largely escape this winter storm with just some rain and some wind.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.